Tithe that portion belongs to the Lord. And as believers, God trusts us to give him back what belongs to him. Amen? It's something you return to God. Elder Camp dispatched Dr. Austin to come and pick us up from the hotel. And I noticed that she pulled up, and I believe it was a large charge. She doesn't even know what kind of car. Amen. But it's a rental car. I know that car doesn't belong to her. Amen. And it's the same when it comes to our tithe. Amen. God, amen, tells us that we should return.
Your money. That is our money. If
We were on a system where we were trading cows, amen, or trading collard greens and mustard greens, then that would be our medium. But our medium of exchange today is money. Amen. 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 And what happened is the time, it represents our time. It represents our work. It represents our life. Amen. So it's all incoming what? Cash. Amen. For example, you work, you bring home a paycheck, and you sell your house, you make a profit from that sale, or you receive an inheritance that was left to you by a deceased loved one, you should immediately separate the tithe. It should be dedicated and what? Return to God. Amen. Because the Bible teaches that it is the tithe that is holy and sacred. When you make your monthly budget, amen, what do you do? You're making this budget, amen, and you're making this budget for your household. You don't include the money that Uncle Sam has already deducted, do you? Amen. Why? Because Uncle Sam has already, watch it now, he has already designated that fund for some projects that he has set up. Amen. Amen. Such as road construction, schools. Amen. The tithe has a destination. Amen. God has already designated the tithe. The primary function of the tithe is for kingdom building. Amen. For kingdom maintenance. Amen. And to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the tithe is the minimum amount that is given in return to God as an expression. It is an expression of worship. Say an expression of worship. Amen. It's a demonstration of how much you love the Lord. You know, God so loved us that he gave what? He gave of himself. Amen. All right, and so when we talk about the tithe, we are worshiping and we are demonstrating our love for him. And then after giving the tithe, all additional giving is called the free will offering. Amen. Now if you will turn to Leviticus 27 and verses 30 through 32, and I'm not going to read it, I'm quite sure that you put it up on the screen. But this passage of scripture, it brings out two important truths. First of all, the tithe is the Lord, which means it's separated, dedicated, or devoted to God. In other words, what he's saying here in this writing is that you can't make a decision about the tithe. Amen. You can't do that. Amen. You know, it's just like example that I gave previously about the rental car. Amen. It doesn't belong to you. Isn't that right? Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. You can't take that rental car and give it to Brother Peanut Butter as a gift. Because what? It doesn't belong. You can't take that rental car and put it in your garage and put a tag on it. Why? It's not yours. Amen. Isn't that right? It must be what? It must be. Dr. Austin got to return that charger before she fly out to California. If not, they'll put a warrant out. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Or her arrest. Some of us, we got a warrant out of them. Amen. Lord have mercy. And so you got to look at the tithe in the same fashion. Amen. Amen. And especially when it comes to a large amount of tithe. When you start small, then it becomes a part of you. Amen. Amen. Then it doesn't affect you because you understand the principle of tithing. Amen. All right, let's move right quick. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with all the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Amen. And so the tithe is also referred as the tenth of your increase. Amen. And that tells us that it has to be separated from our own possession. In other words, as soon as you receive your income, as soon as you get your check, amen, whether it's a welfare check, a paycheck, or whether it's a profit from some sale of property, you must immediately separate. He said immediately. Amen. It should be brought right to the house of God. Don't play with it. Amen. Don't come and worship. Listen, separate. As soon as you receive your check, this belongs to God. Amen. Amen. It's just like in the Old Testament, the farmers, they would sow their seeds. Amen. And then in a few months, they're looking for a harvest. Amen. Now, God knows that that farmer can use all of that harvest. But then God has required that farmer to give back what? A tenth, a portion back, right? Amen. Isn't that right? Lord, have mercy. Amen. And what that farmer does, he put that portion aside. And when you put that portion aside, you're putting away what God can really do some great and mighty things. Amen? When you honor someone or when you honor something, you treat that person with what? You treat them special. Isn't that right? Amen. You give them a special recognition and respect. You can give, even in that term, when we use the term honorarium, amen, a lot of times when it comes to speakers, we're talking about what? Respect. We're giving them honor, you know, giving them an offering for their services. Amen. And so God desires is to prosper us in every area. Amen. God desires to prosper us spiritually, mentally, and physically, socially, and financially. And tithing gives God the channel where he can open up the windows. He can open up the windows of heaven and pour out us what? Blessings that we don't have room enough to receive. Amen. I'm talking about blessings. And when I speak of blessings, I'm not talking oftentimes about tangible things, but he can pour out blessings when he can give us ideas, when he can give us concepts. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. God wants to do that. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So he desires to prosper us in every way. Every way. And so the blessings begin to flow. Amen. Say flow. Amen. All right. All right. Now, I want to do something here. I want you to pull out your Bibles because how many have heard people say that tithing was under the law? You know, tithing was under the law, and we're under this dispensation of grace and truth, and so we don't need to tithe anymore. How many heard that? All right. Some people say that I don't tithe because tithe is under the Old Testament, and we are not under the Old Testament. Well, that's true. That's a true statement. We're under the New Testament. And I want you to understand that tithing is under the law, but it was also practiced before the law. Amen. Turn to Genesis 14, verses 18 and 20. Someone read that for me, please. verses 18 and 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thy enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Amen. Abraham, he tied to Melchizedek some 430 years prior to the law. Amen. And Abraham was called, if you recall, by God, amen, to come out of a place where he lived. And God said, if you do that, I'm going to bless you. Not only bless you, but I'm going to make your name great. Amen. And that he was going to be a blessing. Amen. So God said he would show Abraham a land that he was going to give him and his seed for an inheritance. And he showed him the land of Canaan, the promised land. Abraham, his wife, you recall the story, they were traveling with his nephew Lot, Sarah. They journeyed down to Egypt, and once they got there, Abraham told Sarah, you recall the story, say it to my sister. And he wanted her to do that because she was beautiful, and he feared that the king would take her. And the king, he took her, and he found out what was going on. Amen. And they came out of Egypt. But when they came out with great substance. They came out rich. Amen, right? And they journeyed back to the land of promise. And the Bible says that Abraham wasn't just rich, but he was very rich. And soon there developed a strife between Abraham and Lot. And you know, the herdsmen, they began to have strife between one another. Amen. And so they had to separate, you know, and Lot looked and he pitched his tent near this city called Sodom. Amen. Is that right? And you recall the story that there was a massacre, amen, that transpired there. And what happened? Abraham, he heard about it, and he went down and he rescued Lot. Amen. And he defeated the invading armies. He took the spoils and brought the spoils back with the people and all of the possessions. And when he returned from this massacre, he met a man named Melchizedek, who was a king and a priest. And without, the Bible said he didn't have any family ties. He had no beginning, no ending. Amen. And what happened? We see in the Word of God that Abraham, who was not under the law, he was before the law. He did what? The Bible says that he gave, he blessed Melchizedek. He made tithes to Melchizedek. Amen? Amen. Amen. He blessed him. Now notice, God was the one that gave Abram, or Abraham, he gave him the victory. God did that. But then the spoils, the possession, Abraham gave it to Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a representative of God. That's really Melchizedek, what we call a theophany. He was a temporary manifestation of God. Amen. He gave it to Melchizedek. Amen. And so what am I saying? I'm saying this. Amen. We have to, amen, as children of God, be faithful, amen, when it comes to our tithing. Amen. We have to be faithful. Amen. We have to give our tithe to the ministry. You know, so many times we say that I'm giving my tithe to the pastor. No, you're not giving your tithes to the pastor. You're giving your tithes to the ministry for the work of God. for the edification of the kingdom of God, for the furtherance of the gospel. Isn't that right? Amen. 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 And Abraham, he taught his family the things God taught him. Amen. We see the same thing that happened with Jacob. Amen. All right. Now, I'm moving because I know it's hot in here. but listen, let's go to, let's look at Malachi. Let's back up and look at verses 6 through 9. Same chapter number 3. And here is God speaking about tithing through the prophet Malachi. We know the story of the people of God had forsaken the commandments to give a tithe from their increase according to what was written in Leviticus. Now, let's look at this scripture and let's examine this scripture here and see what it's saying here. See what God is saying. He's saying what? I am the Lord and I change not. Now listen, we can always depend on God not to change. God is not vacillating, he's not wishy-washy. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. In other words, God's attitude about murder is still the same like it was in the Old Testament. It's the same in the New. Stealing, adultery, all the same. He says, what? Don't do it. Isn't that right? The wages of sin is what? It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The same is true when it comes to tithing. God does not change. It's the same. Amen. God called his people to do what? To return to him. And then he describes how you should do it. Now notice what he says. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Now, you know, I used to wonder, how in the world can a little old man rob big old God, the Creator? How can man rob him? Well, you can rob him by simply taking what that doesn't belong to you. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen. And using what belonged to him for something else. Oh Lord, it's going to be a time again. Say, for example, the pressure of life is on. You know, we have pressures in life. What are you talking about? Life bill due, note due, you know, mortgage payment due. If you get all of this money in, and the pressure of life is on, and it seems like you're going to come up short, amen, and then you say, well, this time I just going to the church, and so I'm going to hold back on it this time. Well, when you hold back on the time, what is happening? You are holding back on God the opportunity to give you whatever you need. Amen. Now, the Bible says, prove me now. Amen. We have to start people to believe in God now, at the moment they get saved, right now. I understand that sometimes there may be some grace period there, you know, until their faith is developed, but you still have to show up in the Word of God what the Word is saying when it comes. Prove me now. Prove me right. In other words, there's one place in the scripture where God is saying, put me to the test. Put me to the test. Amen. Alright? And so what I'm saying is that there is a door that has to be open for God to bless us. Amen. Are you listening? Alright. And that door is open through tithe and offering. Amen. And when you're giving tithes and when you're paying your tithes and giving your offering, you want to do it with the right attitude. Yeah. You know, people don't do things with the right attitude. Their motive is not right. How many of you you heard this, I've heard some of the craziest things said when it comes to offering. Yeah. Here's something that is said. Let's hurry up and get the offering and the tithe out of the way. It ain't in the way. The tithe and offering, it is not in the way. The tithe and offering, listen to what I'm saying. It is a part of worship. It's demonstrating that you love God. It's not in the way. There's some crazy stuff. All those who've been called to preach, stand up. You feel like you've been called. That's not the right way. That's not the right attitude. Isn't that right? You know, even in our mannerism, it's offering time. I'm going to tell you, in great apostolic, when you say offering time, people run and start shouting. Because what? We have taught on that. I'll never forget we had visitors to come, and some even joined the church, became members of the church. They said they had never been to a church when offering was announced that the people started running and shouting and jumping and praising the Lord. Amen. And I'm talking about we didn't beg, we didn't pump. We didn't put the pressure on people to give. See, people have to be taught. Amen. People have to be taught to give. I don't break away and go somewhere else because I was looking at the slideshow and I saw the new edifice that Agape is seeking to purchase. Let me tell you something. If one man, can buy a home for $300,000, what do you think a group of people with a made up mind can do? You can do it. You have to pull that stronghold down. You have to bring those high places down. Years ago, they taught on dues. You know, you pay the dues and you can't make it off dues. That's not God's financial plan. And listen. He says, give. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you what? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And I notice, he said what? He said, you give, and it should be given unto you. Give, it should be given unto you. Give, it should be given unto you. Give. And because you were created in this image, and you call yourself a Christian, and you are like him, and because he gave, God so loved the world that he gave, then we should be given because what? We're like him. Lord, have mercy. Amen. And he said, bring all of the tithe and offering where? In the storehouse. What is the storehouse? It's where you're being spiritually fed. Don't get theological deep on me and say, well, we all in the body of Christ. And so I'm going to send a portion over here and a portion over here and a portion over there and here, a portion there, a portion everywhere, a portion. No. Bring all into what? The storehouse. The storehouse is where you are being spiritually fed. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Let's build this storehouse here. Amen. How many of you look at TV? You look at these TV preachers, and some of them real slick. If you don't have a home church, why don't you consider tithing and offering, hand tithes here at this ministry? And then they stop right there. What they should tell you, until you find a local church, and you need to find one. You know, some people don't want a local church because they don't want a tithe. Because they have the wrong attitude about tithing. I'm giving that man. You ain't giving the man nothing. You ain't giving the preacher nothing. It's to what? The work of the Lord. And God got a work here for you all. I was looking at that building. I said, Lord, that's a beautiful building. I would love to see you all be in that building. And you can be in that building. Amen. You know, there's God. See, it's more to getting saved than just saying that I'm saved. But once you get saved, listen, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things that old way of thinking have passed, and behold, now all things are become. Become means to grow. Become means that you have to be taught. Amen. So once you get saved, he says that, then Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies what? As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Trapped. You have to change your way of thinking. You have to get off the world system and get on God's financial system. Amen. You know, Paul gives an example in the book of Corinth. Amen. He says, if you give a little, if you sow a little, then what's going to happen? You're going to reap a little. Amen. If you sow much, you're going to what? You're going to reap much. A lot of it has to do with attitude. Amen. And when it seems like you just don't have enough, amen, that's when you sow it. By faith. Because he said that the God we serve, he is able to make it up.
Oh, have mercy.
He'll make it up. God have mercy. Amen. You know, you are actually worshiping. And so when you give, you know, look at it from that perspective. I am worshiping God. I am demonstrating my love towards God. It's not in the way. Don't say it. Well, we're going to be able to get the offering out of the way so we can go and shout. See, that's the problem. A lot of us, we're shouting, and we're running, we're jumping pews, and we don't know what we're running and shouting about. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Am I helping somebody here? Amen. Now, let's go to the tithing under the New Testament. I want to go step by step with this one. This is our New Testament authority for the system of tithing under the dispensation of the law. Now you all know that we had, seven dispensations against the conscience. What is the human government law, the promise, grace, and truth, the kingdom, amen. We had seven dispensations, all right? Now, I want you to look at Hebrews, the seventh chapter. We want to go step by step with this. Verses 5-9. Sometimes people don't believe that tithing is under the dispensation of grace and truth. You have it? And it says, and verily they that are, not were, but are of the sons of Levi. It's talking about the church members today. We are the true born sons of Levi. That is, we are a company of priests. Who received the office of the priesthood. All Levites did not receive the office of the priesthood, neither do we today. The office of the priesthood today is what we call the ministry. The office of the priesthood have, not had, but have a commandment. Have a commandment. Not a privilege, but a commandment to take tithes of the people. How? Or what is the system? According to the law. That is, of their brethren through they come out of the lineage of Abraham. In other words, they are Abraham's seeds. Now, the previous verse, we spoke of Abraham paying tithes in his day to who? Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. But now, notice what is happening. He's speaking in the present tense of our day, and he informed us that the system or the method of paying and handling tithe, the way we pay and handle our tithes today, is to be according to the law. As I forestated before that the tithing originated before Abraham, but was systemized or put into a system under the law. And so we therefore have to return back to the dispensation of the law to find out how God requires it to be done in the dispensation of grace and truth or the church age. This is a command of God, and it certainly refutes the contention that tithes were only under the law and not to be observed in the church today. Now look at verse 6. Abraham paid who? He paid tithes to him whose descent was not from them. In the first three verses of this chapter, it definitely established Melchizedek. Was God himself manifested as a priest. Alright? And so we see that Abraham actually paid tithes to God and was blessed by God. Verse 7 speaks of he's talking positionally now. From a positional standpoint, it is not that one person is better than the other, but that in the higher position blesses him that is in the lower position. So we see the ministry being blessed the ministry is a blessing to the laity. Are you with me? When this is fulfilled. Amen. God, amen. Again, look at verse number 8. It says, and here. You see that? Read along with me. And here. Read. Men that die. Men that die. Now notice, and here. Not right there. But here, men that die receive. Not received, but here, men that die receive tithes. But there, not here, but there, he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. Amen. Please notice here that here, men what? Receive tithes. Verse 9. Read. Here, we see the Levite also received tithes and paid what? Their tithes. Amen. Now, listen, the pastor is not the high priest. Amen. And the tithes stop with the high priest. So what are you saying? I'm saying that the pastor pays tithes too. Everybody in the church pays tithes. All right, let's go on. Amen. Let's go on. Let's talk about the use of the tithe. Let's talk about the use of the tithe. I ain't paying my tithe because they ain't doing what's right with the tithe. What do you mean? You ain't paying your tithe, you're wrong.
any of those excuses, not to pay the time. I don't think that they should be using the money they what about we? From Texas, they say Lussel and Weasel. but what about we? They not using the time. I thought they should be doing this, and I thought that they should be doing that. Listen, our responsibility is to do what God has instructed us to do. Amen. Amen. Everybody, let me tell you something. I was sharing this with Dr. Harper. And you know, the church oftentimes is like an accordion. You know, it goes by the membership. Goes by forward. Goes by forward. And the pastor has to have the oversight. Amen. The scriptures tell us that we should make plans, but God orders the steps. In other words, I have a responsibility as a pastor to have plans, but then God orders the steps. And a lot of times, the plan that we have in place may have to be changed. Do you understand what I'm saying? And sometimes it has to be changed because the finances are not coming in like they should. And so we got this big project. And then Sister Peanut Butter and Brother Jello, they're good tigers. And the pastor preached on something that they didn't like. So now I'm going to hold the tithe and offering. I'm going to give him the old Eli. I'm going to try to bind him up when he preaches. All that kind of stuff takes on. All that kind of stuff takes on in church. In the, like I said, in the visible church. Because God always got a remnant that's ready to get out of here.
Okay.
Amen. But it takes place. But the work of the Lord is going to go on. And a lot of times God works, and he works in mysterious ways. A lot of times he allows these things to happen. So when the vision comes forth, we won't get the big head and say that we did it. A lot of times the pastor has to go through certain things so that his faith can be built. So that he can get to know God in another way. Amen. Amen. And so it's our responsibility as parishioners, as laity, being in the body of Christ, to do what we're supposed to do. And once you do it, amen, then let God work with you. Amen. And by all means, amen, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. Amen. You can touch it by putting your mouth on it. Don't put your mouth on it. Don't speak, you know, bad of a man or a woman of God. Amen. All right. Let's look at having faith for sowing and reaping. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 6 through 11. The power of tithe and offering. It says this, and I want you to remember this. If you give little, you will get little. And the Living Bible says it like this. A farmer who plants just a few seeds would get only a small crop. But if he plants much, he will reap much. Everyone must make up his own mind as to how much he should give. Now we're talking about what? Offerings. You don't need to make up your mind when it comes to tithe. God already took care of that. He said, look, you keep the 90%. And just give me the 10. It says here,
must make up his own mind as to how much he should give. Don't force anyone to give more than he really wants to. For cheerful givers are the one God prizes. God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. It is as the scripture says, the godly man gives generously to the poor. His good deeds will be an honor to him forever. For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant, and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant, and will make it grow so that you can say that you can give away and more fruit from your harvest. Yes, God will give you much so that you can give away much. And when we take away your gift to those who need them, they will break out into thanksgiving and praise to God for your help. And so the law governing farmers says you must sow if you wish to do what? If you want to have a harvest, you got to sow. Amen. If I want tomatoes, then I got to sow tomatoes. If I want potatoes, I got to sow potatoes. Isn't that right? Green, white, reap, whatever it may be. Amen. The law holds true, amen, when it comes to what? Sowing and reaping. And it holds true when it comes to money. Whatsoever man soweth, that he's going to reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he what? He reap. Amen. And so the word of God means what it says, but says what it means. Amen. The law that governs farming says that the ground is only going to yield back what is put in the ground. Amen. That's exactly what happened, saints of God, when you sow money. When you sow money, you're going to do what? You're going to reap. Y'all don't want to hear about money. Amen. But we're going to talk about some money. Amen. If you give a little, you're going to receive a little. Amen. A father who plants a little seed, he's not going to be. If you plant a little seed, how you gonna expect a humongous harvest? Amen? And then when it comes to giving, give with a willing heart. Amen. You want to make your sacrifice what? Acceptable. You want to be, Lord, if this is all you have, then I mean, it may be little, but if your attitude is right, I love you, Lord. This is all I have. But I love you, Lord. And I'm trusting you, Lord. You know, and I'm going to tell you, when you have the right attitude, attitude is a whole lot. It means everything. As a man, so is he. Right. If you sow with the right attitude, if you know the wrong attitude, I know they mean him. To be honest with you, God doesn't need any of our money. He really don't. The earth is the Lord. Don't forget that. And the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord, and everything that's it belongs to him. Amen. Amen. This is the Lord's. Amen. All right. In the book of Exodus, and I believe this is the 25th chapter, it talks about the building of the tabernacle. And these people that had at this particular time, they had the right attitude when it came to give attitude. Now watch this. God spoke to Moses, and he said to Moses, I want you to speak to the children of Israel and tell them to bring me an offer. Now, why did God do that? Scripture says, so that he can do what? So that he can do what? Build a tabernacle and dwell among them. Now, we serve an awesome God, the creator, you know, of the universe. Amen. He provided a way for us as sinners to have a relationship with him. He said, listen, what I want you to do is just speak to him and tell them to bring me an offering. Lord have mercy. Scripture said that they brought more than enough. They brought more than enough. And they were happy. They were glad to bring God. Amen. The offering. And look, we have what? The tabernacle that was constructed. And then God what? Was able to do what? To come and dwell among a sinful people. We serve an awesome God. An awesome God. It's just like when we praise and worship the Lord. You know what you're doing when you're praising and worshiping the Lord? You're building a throne for the King of Kings to come and sit among us. But the priest did not take his seat until his priestly duty was over. Amen. And so if you need something, amen, before the priest sit down, amen, he's going to take care of your need. If you need something, he's going to take care of your need. It's the same when it comes to offering. We are worshiping the Lord. It's unto the Lord. It's not unto Elder Kemp. It's not unto Dr. Harper. It's not unto Pastor Hayes. But it's unto the Lord. And God can do great and mighty works for God. Y'all can get that bill. You can listen to that, Lord Kemp. I want to help you now. You can get that bill. I said, you can get that bill. Amen. Don't let the stronghold that the enemy has put there. Don't let that fortified position that he put there. You can break through that. You can, listen, you can break through that. God has already given you the means to break through. You can break through it. The building is yours. Say the building is ours. Y'all sound weak. Y'all sound weak. You got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. The building is ours.
His riches and glory.
Amen. Quit talking poor. and just do what God has instructed you to do. And I guarantee you that he's not slack. Well, he promised he's able to perform. He's not through with you, but God is still blessing you.